say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? And hey, what's up from Big B in Beaumont? We are in Beaumont at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder Road. As we get ready to usher in the weekend with a lot of great things to do. Yes, it's a little bit cold outside, but we are actually, believe it or not, out on the deck. Barry and I have been ice fishing all morning, but we are in time to do the show. It is toasty in here with some heaters, and the usual suspects are here as they will be serving beer and $12 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light all day. Nick's nice and cozy back at the station, but the rest of us are braving the elements out here in Beaumont.
I'm loving it. I love it. You're
dressed like the lineman from the county.
The what?
You got the duck boots on.
The lineman from the county.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the linemen, the guys that go out there in the weather to do the check the lines on the telephone poles and everything when it's bad weather. You got the heavy duty jacket on.
I'll have you know, sir, everything I'm wearing is high fashion.
Well, okay.
I mean, let's not, you know, glass houses throwing stones here, pal.
I'm good.
Yeah, dude, I love this weather. It gets me frisky. I feel good. I'm in a good mood.
Andreas just took two steps back after hearing that.
Why, what? I'm in a good mood. What's wrong with that? You guys are so weird.
No, he didn't like frisky.
I swear. You guys are like, Andreas, don't be childish. You're acting like a five-year-old right now. I said I'm frisky. I didn't say I wanted to have sex with you. Although...
He has been lifting more weights, Barry. He has been improving the gun show.
You see how nervous that makes
yes,
him?
Yes, look at him. He acts like a little kid. He doesn't want to look at you.
Bro,
he's looking
like,
the other
he's
way.
He's hiding his head and his hands. Am I making it awkward for you? What if I rubbed your leg under the table? Would that help? He's like, I will fight you, bro. That's fine. I'll fight you, too. I don't care. Yeah, man. I woke up this morning. Actually, I stayed up late last night. I didn't go to bed till like 3 in the morning.
Okay.
But last night, somebody, a listener, tweeted and said, hey, y'all be careful. It's snowing in Beaumont.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, what? So I checked the weather, and sure enough, it said it was snowing in spring. And I looked outside, and my front yard was already covered in snow. So, yeah, it lasted till at least 3 or 4 in the morning. And I was fully anticipating all of the pictures and everything else that came with it. But you know what? I'm kind of cynical about that stuff, but it was kind of cool. I was glad to see people getting some joy and having some fun with it, and that's,
you know,
good.
As I grew up in it, but at the same time, there's no better time to have something like this happen than right before the holidays, because it kind of puts you more in the holiday mood and spirit, and you know, people get to have a lot more fun with the lights up all across the neighborhoods.
Yep.
And it adds a little bit more of that Christmas feel to it. So I think it's great. My daughter was out for the first time ever. She saw snow today, and she was running around in it and yelling snow, snow. And then she was ironically getting pictures with Santa today. And I'm like, well, the backdrop's not going to be too difficult for that.
So, are they doing it outside?
I think they're doing it with a window in the background where you can see the snow on the ground.
Is it going to be still there? Because
well, yeah, out in Sugar Land, I mean, like I said, when everybody was tweeting us last night, I looked at my backyard. There was nothing.
Right.
But this morning at 6 in the morning when I let the dogs out, I was like, oh, my God, the entire backyard was a blanket of white.
Who let the dogs out?
That would be.
Okay. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. I'm not happy with me for that.
Yeah, there's a dad joke from you.
I owe you no points.
Nick, play the gong. That gong me right now. I deserve it.
Yeah, damn, that was a dad joke, bro.
All right, you shut your mouth. No one asked you.
But, I mean, look, the only thing I was concerned with was how people were going to drive in this. And you could see by some of that watching the morning news shows this morning, there were a ton of accidents on the main thoroughfares because people just don't know how to drive in it.
But the streets aren't nothing but slick, though. They're not nothing froze.
Well, we got to think about this.
We didn't get
on
below
the overpasses. It becomes black ice.
But it's it was 33 was the low. There was no freezing.
I'm just telling you.
They said north and west of the city, there might have been some spots where you might see a little bit of freezing. But overall, it shouldn't have been.
They were sliding all over at 610 and 59 where there was a big accident. I-10 coming in, there was a big accident. Because on the overpasses with the wind, it takes the temperature down on those things and makes them slick. And again, people are trying to go 80 and change lanes and don't realize that you don't have snow tires.
I did about 112 on the way over here.
Congratulations.
I was not messing around. I 105, you got to be aggressive on that road. You can't just, if you sit back, you're going to end up doing 30 behind some Meemaw or Pawpaw in their truck. You got to get it.
I can tell you this. On I-10 all the way down here, truckers don't realize, you know, the left lane's the fast lane, and they were taking both lanes. I was doing my best Nick Sciarra. I was in and out of traffic, diagonally changing lanes. I was not having it.
Good.
Yeah,
I like that aggressiveness.
So, yeah, we decided to brave the elements today. We're outside on the deck, and it's really not too bad. They've got some clear tarps over the outside window-esque portion of the outdoor patio. But the heating lamps are on. The drink specials are good. The food's great. So we're going to be here till 4 o'clock. If you guys want to stop in and join us hourly, we're going to be giving away one-night stays at the Red Roof Inn. All you got to do is register at the promotional table. You can also spin the Wheel of Fortune to see what you can get between air fresheners, candy, T-shirts, movies. Taj is back after a world tour.
You can have some of her nachos.
Yeah, she's sharing her food with the world today. Talking with her mouth open. It's fantastic. And we got plenty to talk about, too. There was a little football game last night that turned out to be pretty good. We've got baseball news, and Barry's favorite player looks to be moving on, which should be cause for celebration for the entire show.
Yeah, and today with your
FEF Friday,
the funny comedian of the day is Thea Vidal, so we'll have a couple of clips from her throughout the day. Thea's an OG in Houston comedy, so I'll have more information from her when we get back from the break and play a clip from her. So, yep.
Sounds good. All right, so we're rolling along, and we're going to be here at Luke's Ice House. Nick is back at the station. He's holding down the fort. Nick, you were fearing this snow last night. You okay with all this?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think there's some truth to what you and Sarah were talking about in regards to, like, the ice kind of help. It didn't feel incredibly cold walking out. Like, I thought it would feel colder. It was cold for me because I'm an absolute wuss and I hate cold weather, but yeah. It didn't feel as cold as I thought it would. Plus, my dog wasn't going out either. Like, I tried to take it out before I went to work. It was like, nah, play. I'll just drop a deuce right here in the kitchen. I ain't going out there. So she thought it was cold. I thought it was surprisingly warmer than normal. I mean, but I don't know. When's the last time we had, was it 4 inches?
I think it was 8 years ago that we had snow and I was on the road and missed it.
Did they say we had 4 inches last night?
I thought some places had 4 inches. I could be wrong.
In the rural areas where it's not safe to drive, they had at least 4 inches of snow.
Wow.
So it's different this year.
Yeah, really four inches. I was out in the yard last night taking pictures of my underwear.
Good.
Not that cold.
Taking pictures of your underwear or
in it? I was going to do a snow angel in my drawers and video it, but then I decided against it. Nobody needs to see that.
No one needs to see the candy cane either, but you know, at least you were out in the yard. It's not bad, but Nick, the one thing that you got to realize, if it goes below freezing, that's when the moisture in the air makes it more cold. It would be colder here than it would be up north if it dropped below freezing because of the moisture in the air.
Okay.
So it would be a lot more dangerous, but you know. Good news is everybody had a little fun, got a little snow, and I'm sure by the weekend it'll be all forgotten and in the 60s, high 60s to low 70s, and everybody will be on with their fiesta, Christmassy, tropical, whatever.
I do hate it regardless. I do want those remote starts, those fancy remote starts that you can get for your vehicle. I really want one of those.
My truck has one of those, and I'm really happy about that right now. That was nice, too. I'm glad you said fiesta because my stupid ass always messes up fiesta and siesta. I always get those confused.
Okay. One's a grocery store. I know that.
All right. Well, now we're even.
I evened it up for you. There you go. All right. So we got a full show for you. We're going to take you up to 4 o'clock. And then lo and behold, Fred, AJ, and the Blitz will be here, too, taking until 7 o'clock. So we'll entertain you on the airwaves. And if you want to stop in person, we are at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder Road in Beaumont. $12 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light all day long. So stop in, hang out, have some fun, or make sure you keep us tuned in all afternoon. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire, Mike and Tammy Gust. They've been doing it for over 15 years in the Houston area, and they want you to be a loyal customer. so they're never going to screw you over. They're going to make sure that they are communicating with you on everything and anything that you need for your vehicle. And as the name in the title says, American Wheel and Tire. They focus and they specialize on wheels and tires. But if you got a flat tire or a damaged rim and somebody else is telling you they need to replace one, if not both, they can normally repair one, if not both, and save you a whole lot of money. They're never going to charge you for something that you don't need. They're always going to be there for you, and they're going to want you to come back again and again because they are a one-stop shop for everything you need for your vehicle. That means lift kits. That means lights, steps, and bumpers. Anything for your SUV or your truck. And also for your off-roads. And they can also do the same for your exotic cars, including performance exhaust, ECU, tunes, superchargers, you name it, they do it. And they're going to do it right there in a comfortable waiting room while you watch through a window and ask questions about what's going on with your vehicle. It's American Wheel and Tire. They're at 290 and 34th Street, and also AmericanWheelandTire.com, where you can see all the great things they've done to soup up vehicles in the Houston area. And by the way, on December the 16th, they're going to have a Toys for Tot toy drive. So if you got an unwrapped toy that's never been used and you want to make a difference in someone's Christmas this year, get a child a toy and drop it off at American Wheel and Tire on December the 16th. American Wheel and Tire, 290 and 34th Street.
Yep, he ain't lying. I smoke weed. I think they should make marijuana legal. Because pot smokers don't hurt nobody. We dial Domino's Pizza, get the pizza, we're in heaven. I've been smoking weed since I was 15 years old. I'm 54 now, so it's safe to assume I'll be smoking when Jesus come back. Hell, I didn't smoke so much weed, I thought I was smoking with Jesus.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, where we are here till 4. The Blitz will be here till 7. AJ's favorite part of the show on an FEF Friday is always the comedy mentions and all the profiles of local comics that he says is long and drawn out. So, look, we have fun with this, and as we've added to the show, the staple of Fridays is the funny part of FEF Friday, and Barry previews and kind of gives you some sound clips from different comedians with either ties to Houston and or that are going to be in the area. So give us a little bit of a background on Thea Vidal.
Yeah, Thea moved here pretty early on. I think she was like 12. She started comedy. This is what sucks. She started comedy in 86. By 1989, she was touring. She had done Rodney Dangerfield's open night with Tim Allen, Jeff Foxworthy, and Sam Kinison. 3 years.
Wow.
She goes from starting comedy to that. I'm 5 years in. And I'm just fledgling. I'm just staying afloat in the comedy world. So that just shows you how talented some of these folks are. They get into it. You might recognize the name if you were watching sitcoms in 1993. She had a sitcom called Thea for a year, and then it got canceled. But yeah, she had a quick run with a sitcom called Thea. She was in WWE.
Really?
A lot of folks don't know that. Yeah, in January 2006, she made her debut as Mama Benjamin. She appeared as the mother for wrestler Shelton Benjamin. Apparently, the Big Show made her faint in the ring. So, yeah, Thea Vidal, very funny. And I chose her this week because they've got a gig next week at the American Legion Post 560. It's called the Greater Heights Comedy Night. My buddy Naro puts on this show. I've done it before. I've done it a couple times. Great show. So Thea's headlining. A guy from San Antonio named Larry Garza is out there featuring. And it's a really cool show. And Naro gives a lot of that money back to the veterans and the American Legion and everything. So check it out. You can just search Greater Heights Comedy Night on Facebook. But definitely go check it out. Thea is worth the money for sure.
Well, that makes it worth it even more so than the great comedy, is to make sure that you know that they're giving it back to the vets and the soldiers. That's fantastic.
Yep.
You watch a game last night?
I did. I did indeed.
There was plenty of storylines from football alone just in that game.
There was
a lot going on.
I know you felt better about your pick. Or your prediction.
Yeah, I felt great about going under with the Falcons. Oh, you meant overall. Yeah. I mean, look, I'll tell you what, though. Kamara doesn't go out of that football game. It may be a different story. The Saints are starting to convince me. I wasn't convinced, as we all know, 4 weeks ago, but they got a lot of talent on that defense that is playing at a different level than they were earlier in the season. I was judging a lot of it on the Saints on what I saw in Lambeau against the Rodgers-less Packers team, where they didn't look great, and the Packers were in the game, which shouldn't have been the case. But last night, defense was impressive. offense, every time you start with Drew Brees, you know they're good. And if you think about that two-headed monster when Kamara is healthy, those two guys toting the rock, they can hurt some people.
Yep, it is a scary, talented, loaded team on both sides of the ball. You can kind of say the same thing about Atlanta. They just, you feel like they might just now be putting it all together. It's a big win for them. They've won, what, four out of their last five? So yep. Atlanta's kind of picking things up a little bit as well and in the driver's seat now.
They did it in spite of Matt Ryan, who did everything in his power to give that thing away last night. I could not believe his picks because they were just blatant. They weren't like, you know, trying to fit into one was unfortunate, but a lot of them, he just made a bad read and a bad throw and got burned for it. And you're like, this is a guy that was the MVP a year ago that took his team to the Super Bowl, and he looks like night and day different. He's not even going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. But I'll tell you this. They're a different team when Freeman's back. And now that he's back from that concussion, I will agree for once with the analysis on NBC and Collinsworth. I'll tell you this right now. That guy runs it like 150 miles an hour on every play. He goes balls out every time he touches the football. And he's impressive to watch when he runs the football.
It's funny how we can forget how good a team is like Atlanta when you look at what they did last year and how they got to the Super Bowl and how they had dominated the Patriots for over a half. And then, of course, and we'll get to the whole choke thing in a minute. But it's funny that we can forget how good this team was last year because they played so bad early on this season. And they're still loaded. I mean, they still have a good defense. They still have a good offense. They still have weapons. You know, you mentioned Freeman. And when Freeman was out, Tevin Coleman filled in admirably on that Falcons team. And, you know, I agree with you, though. Matt Ryan last night, they're lucky they won. They won in spite of Matt Ryan. Yeah. And that defense, he needs to be buying that defense dinner this weekend because they bailed him out on several occasions.
Not only did they bail out Matt Ryan, they bailed out Dan Quinn, their head coach. Because I don't know if you caught it late in the game, but a huge mistake where he decides that fourth and one was enough that they were just going to kick the field goal. It was actually fourth and inches. So he declines a 10-yard penalty, which would have pushed him back, taken time off the clock, and forced them to really kick the field goal. Instead, he declines it. The Saints go for it. They make it, and they continue a drive where until Brees throws the interception that the defense bailed him out on, he would have been the GOAT of all GOATs. And really been like what could have cost them a playoff spot, because if they lose last night, they're done.
Yeah, and Brees didn't have a Brees-like game either. I mean, we could pick on Matt Ryan, but both of these quarterbacks played pretty bad overall.
Yeah.
So I it's weird that you would see the Falcons and the Saints and think, all right, this is going to be a shootout. This ended up being more about the defenses on both sides of the ball than anything else, and you're right, Kamara going out didn't help.
Right.
2 yards rushing, you expect more from them. The Saints with only 50 yards total. That's a different Saints team when they can't run the ball. That is for sure.
We've seen Mark Clayton in the past, and we know what he brings to the table. And we know the fact of the matter is when he totes the football, Mark Ingram, excuse me, that you know the fact that he's a bruiser. You know, he's not going to be breakaway speed. He's not going to get out on the edge and scare people. He's just going to pound the rock. But that's why that thunder and lightning combination is so valuable for them. But you see what they had before they had Kamara, because 50 yards rushing is about what you would expect from Ingram unless he happened to break one.
I saw somebody label the duo Boom and Zoom. What do you think about that? You like that?
I'm okay with that, because thunder and lightning's been overused.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you go back to the last time the Saints had it, it was Hilliard and Galbraith were the two running backs, I think, for the Saints back then. But the fact of the matter is the Saints have always had one. And you're talking about the talent on this roster. And offensively, I'm looking at no one other than maybe the Steelers, who have Antonio Brown and a good receiving core and have the best running back in the league in Le'Veon Bell. But when you look at the two running backs the Falcons have, and you look at Sanu, and you look at Hooper, Jones. And you look at Jones, you're like, you know what? He's got pretty much the full complement that almost nobody in the league can compete with, maybe with the exception of Pittsburgh.
That's why I said it's funny how we can forget how many weapons were on this team just last year that got them to a Super Bowl and almost won it for them. And they've been just flying under the radar because they haven't, but they haven't played well, and they deserve to kind of have been forgotten about for a bit.
Yeah, you mentioned it yesterday. When you lose to Buffalo at home, when you lose home games in a new building that everybody is bragging about, saying it's supposed to be, you know, it's going to take you over the top with the home court, I mean, home field advantage even more so, and you're losing home games. Then they lose to the Jets too.
Yep, they lost to the Bills, the Dolphins. They beat the Jets, lost to the Panthers, but there was a stretch where they had lost 4 or 5.
Yeah. And you know, when you lose to the Dolphins and you lose, you know, at home to the Bills, I mean, that's just those just aren't good games. That's not the same kind, that's not reflective of a team that, as you said, was in the Super Bowl a year ago and had a 25-point lead. So they have some proving to do to people to make them believers again. But at the same time, with all those weapons, you can't sleep on them. You knew it was going to be a game. And what I liked too was after the game, Freeman right away tweets the Aints. So you know he
deleted it.
Oh, did he delete it?
He deleted it.
I didn't know he deleted it because I'm like, you guys got to play them again. And you know in 2 weeks in the Superdome, it's going to be on with those two teams.
Like they say it with your chest, man.
I like it.
Don't delete it. I mean, if you're going to post it, but just don't delete it. That's, I don't know. What about the whole choke sign? What were your thoughts on that? Sean Payton making
I'm gonna tell you this.
Choke sign to Freeman.
I was going to ask you, is it about the choke sign or the press conference after? Because the press conference after to me was just so weak, it was ridiculous.
I missed the press conference.
So the press conference after, if you missed it, Freeman goes off over to the sidelines over by Sean Payton. They exchange words. And on his way back onto the field, Sean Payton gave the choke sign to him about 2 or 3 times. People were speculating it was what they did in the Super Bowl last year, all these other things. Payton gets to the podium after the game, and they said, Coach, what about you giving the choke sign to Freeman? He goes, I don't recall. I don't recall that. I don't know anything about what you're talking about. Done, guys? Okay, good. And he bails. And it's like, and all the guys in the studio are like, selective memory, Coach? You did it twice on national TV.
Not only that, but what's worse? Is that worse? Or when he tried to flat tire the referee on the way off the field after? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had gotten the penalty late in the game, which probably cost them the game because they got moved back and they had the time run off and all that. And then on his way off the field, which, by the way, the penalty was they said he ran on the field. He said he was running on there to call a timeout. I disagree. But usually you see those guys run up and down the sidelines. They're not going to sprint out to the middle of the field almost or three quarters of the way. But running off the field, he runs up behind the head referee and steps on his heel, kind of flat tires him on the shoe. The ref looks at him, and you can see him mouth something, and I couldn't make it out. But he kind of mouths something but never looks in his direction and keeps going. I thought, uh-oh, you're getting a little nasty now.
You talk about a three-play, right? So you got the choke sign. Then you got running out onto the field in which the guy that carries his headset wire looked like a 100-pound guy trying to walk a 200-pound dog because he's trying to hang on to the leash as Sean Payton goes out onto the field. He gets the 15-yarder, which doesn't help the Saints at all. And then, as you talk about, he chases the referee right after the game. And it's like, Sean Payton, act like you've been there before and have some composure and some class. You've won a Super Bowl. You're a highly respected coach. And you're acting like a new coach that doesn't know what he's doing out there. And you hurt your team. And that's what I thought was really bad was, you know, you hurt your team. And then to say,
with the penalty. I mean, the other stuff doesn't hurt either way. But
also the fact that, look, have some class and say, yeah, heat of the moment, I got into it. I probably did some things I shouldn't have done because you're on national TV. But instead, I don't remember that. I think the whole free world that's a football fan watching the game last night remembers it.
Yeah, there's video. I don't know if he knows that, but there's video. Lauren Pope said, please tell me the heaters are on out there. Yes, Lauren, come on out. The heaters are on.
Yep.
There's one heater, two. No, there's more than one.
We've got one behind us.
No, there's
petering
a bunch.
Out.
Look,
there's about
all those
four or
over
five.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of heaters. Get out here.
So we're down here at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder Road in Beaumont. $12 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light all day. Don't worry, it's warm on the deck. It's warmer inside. There's TVs abound. And there's lots of pretty people here to hang out with, including all of us, well, with exceptions. But anyway, we're going to be here till 4. The Blitz is going to be here till 7. We want to see you, and if not, make sure you keep your dial tuned in right here to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects on a F Yeah Friday, where F is for football, which we've been talking. Also, F is for funny, as our featured comedian of the day is Thea Vidal, and Barry's told you a little bit about her. We'll have excerpts of her comedy throughout the show. And, of course, the number one Who Dat Nation man on our station is one Clarence who is chiming in. Clarence, I know it's not time to eat crow or anything like that, but that was a tough one last night, but a well-fought game.
Yeah, it was, man. It was. But more, I'm angry because that officiating crew now, granted, now, you
don't
think
be that
I
guy, Clarence.
Be,
yeah, really.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. You know, it was some of them were well-deserved penalties, but let's even start off with that ticky-tack roughing the quarterback. That cost, I'm going to say that one right there cost us 7 points because that extended their drive, that nine-minute drive straight down the field, and it was grind out. Now, the guys played well, the Falcons, I give them some credit, but that's a game that we should have won. And even despite all the injuries and everything that was going on, could have got away with it. Could have won that game. But you know, they got to come to our house on Christmas Eve, and we'll see how it plays in when Kamara hopefully doesn't have a concussion. We get some players back. Marshawn Lattimore, he's actually not winded after the third quarter. He gave Julio Jones some fits. I mean, it was one of the better Thursday night football games that I've seen this year.
It was good. Appreciate the call, Clarence. Yeah, it was a low scoring Thursday night game. The couple things, though. You know, he said it's a game that they should have won, and I disagree.
I'm with you.
Atlanta's defense, you have to give that team credit. That defense played really well. They bailed their offense out several times. Look at the last drive of the game when they got Drew Brees to throw that ball, to throw that interception. That's not a fluke. That's a good play made by a defense that picked their team up this week. So, I mean, give them credit.
Here's the thing.
I like that you said eat crow when he, you know, that Clarence had to eat crow. He probably had to eat a little Falcon.
Yeah, right. Because look, the way I was looking at it too, you can say, well, that might have cost them 7 points, right? But Matt Ryan did his very best to give away three trips to the red zone where that could have hurt you with several points. So you can't go back. You can go back and forth all day. You can just tip your cap and say, look, they got us at home. We have them at the Dome in a couple of weeks. We're going to take care of business. That's what we're looking forward to. And, you know, the other thing was Drew Brees was saying with all the injuries, it was another situation that we've talked about throughout the season. He blamed it all on being a Thursday night game. He blamed it on the fact that with the short turnaround, these guys were already still hurting from their last game, trying to prepare for another game. That's what caused a lot of the injuries to rear their ugly heads. And that set them back a little bit. So you're going to continue throughout the year to hear about how bad the players hate these Thursday night games. But you know the networks love them. You know the fans love them. And I don't think they're going anywhere.
You know who doesn't complain about the short week? The team that wins.
That's a good point.
They never complain about the short week because they won. Most of these teams are on a short week when they play each other. It's not like they had a bye. And so, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It sounds whiny to me if you lose. If you won and you want to complain and say you hated it, I respect that. I totally respect that.
It also sounds whiny when you blame the officials because the officials were bad on both sides.
Yep.
But here's the other thing. You're not going to whine whether you're Drew Brees or the Saints when you know you got 10 days now for Kamara to come out of concussion protocol as opposed to if it happened right away on a Sunday or a Monday and you'd had a short week or just a regular week to try and get him ready for week 15 and you know you're probably going to need him because it's going to be, you know, tooth and nail down to the end of the wire with the Falcons, the Saints, and the Panthers. So you get 10 days for him to recover, and that's going to help you on the flip side, but I get it. I mean, it's a physical game. It's tough to bounce back in 4 days. It's not, you know, the most advantageous deal for any teams participating in a Thursday night contest, but every team's got to go through it. And at the same time, you know, you tip your cap to the team that won, you move on.
Okay, so Saints sit at 9-4.
Yeah.
Panthers are 8-4. Mm-hmm. Falcons are 8-5. Mm-hmm. Who's winning the division? I'll give you schedules for each if that'll help you.
Sure.
So the Saints remaining on their schedules, the Jets, the Falcons, and the Bucks. Okay? Mm-hmm. Remaining on the Panthers' schedule is the Vikings, the Packers, the Bucks, and the Falcons. So very similar, I guess, to the Saints. And then the Falcons have the division game against the Saints. They have the Bucks and the Panthers.
I think Saints win the division now.
You think the Saints win the division?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm not sold on the Panthers' offense. Yeah, their defense is decent. the Vikings still playing the Panthers is a detriment to the Panthers. And you don't know if Rodgers is going to play or not, which makes the Packers a different team to play against if you're going to play Carolina. And I just think that Atlanta has been too Jekyll and Hyde, too up and down, and I just don't see them turning it around quick enough and having the other teams lose the way they're going to have to lose for them to make up the ground that they need to make up.
I tell you what, if the Panthers beat the Vikings, that's going to make it real interesting in that division. Because then they play the Packers, which they'll probably beat them. Sorry. They'll beat the Bucks, and then they'll end the season against the Falcons. And they're right there in it. I mean, if they win these next three games, that moves them to what, 11-4, mm-hmm. going into the last game of the season. That'll be against the Falcons, who already have five losses.
I give the NFL credit.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting in this division.
They backloaded the schedule beautifully this year,
yep.
with divisional games. They're going to really decide some things coming down the stretch. When you talk about teams, they're going to have, even when we're talking about the AFC South, and you're talking about Jacksonville and Tennessee playing in the last week of the regular season.
They got lucky, but
that's
fantastic. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so there are going to be some fun games to watch there. So if we want to talk about some football, we've been hammering through the game last night and some of the prospects going forward, especially as it relates to those three teams. So we'll touch on some more football as we go on with the show. But breaking news right now coming out of baseball, where Shohei Ohtani, the much-heralded hitter and pitcher, is going from the Nippon Ham Fighters, Barry, of the Pacific League. He has finally made a decision of which Major League Baseball team he's going to play for. You and I were both thinking it was going to end up being Seattle. They were making the hardest push. They were matching everybody's offers.
Is it the Ham Fighters or the Nippon Ham Fighters? So are they Fighters or are they Ham Fighters? I don't know which.
I think I've
seen it as the Nippon Ham Fighters, almost like New Jersey, like it's two words.
Okay. Well, I
could be wrong. I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Is it Ham Fighters or is it Fighters?
A lot of people are anti-pork in their diet
and
these days.
Fighting
so I'm going to go with Ham Fighters.
I'm not. Nobody should be fighting ham.
I'm going to go with, if they were the Turkey Burgers, I would go with that better. But I'm going to go with the Ham Fighters.
Okay.
But he's made his decision, and he's chose the Anaheim Angels. For a guy that said he wanted to go to a smaller market, and that's why he immediately eliminated both the Yankees and the Red Sox, he goes to arguably the second largest market in the country in the Anaheim, Los Angeles area. He teams with Mike Trout, and he is joining the Halos in the Astros division.
I wonder if they tricked him. They were like, no, we're not L.A. No, we're Anaheim. We're not a big market. We're tiny. You should come play with us.
It's the lure of the ears.
That'd be like trying to get him over here. Be like, no, we're in Katy. Come, just you should come. Katy's small.
We're Sugarland. We share our city with the minor league team already.
Yeah, I really thought he would end up in Seattle when you consider the history with Ichiro and everything else. I thought that might make sense for him. But I did kind of feel like he was going to end up on the West Coast somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was shocked when he said small market because you know he's not going to end up playing in a Milwaukee or you know, a small market city like that. San Diego thought that they were in the running till the end. Maybe climate has something to do with that. But at the end of the day, he had narrowed it down to the Cubs, the Rangers, the Dodgers, Giants, Padres, and Mariners. And I'm with you. I thought because of the Ichiro connection, I thought because of the fact that and I've mentioned this before on the show, the Mariners know how to orchestrate that TV deal with Asian markets where they can really make it lucrative for the player and for the team and make some of that money back. I thought it was a perfect fit, and I also thought that if they would get him after getting D. Gordon in a trade yesterday, that they would be primed to try and make a run to compete with the Astros in the division and do some things. I guess fortunately for the Astros in one respect, he doesn't go to the Seattle Mariners, but he stays in the division. He goes to Anaheim, who is quietly still bolstering their team. They still need pitching, but if you remember, they got Upton at the end of the year.
They happen to have the best player on the planet.
They have Mike Trout, and you assume he'll be healthy. And, you know, this is a guy that is arguably, as Ron from our station who's out here and I were talking about it in the break, he's arguably one of the best players in the world, so you pair him with another one of the best players in the world in Mike Trout, and you say the plan for him is he's going to be a starting pitcher, and then on the other 4 days he's supposed to be the designated hitter.
So I'm going to disagree with you guys. Okay. I'm going to say that this dude is going to end up not being a two-way player. At some point, he's either going to focus on playing the field and being a hitter, or he's going to be a pitcher. This is not Japan. This is Major League Baseball. These are the best players on the planet. And if you think you can spend half of your time in the batting cages and not working on your pitching or vice versa. I'm telling you right now, this dude, I think he's going to end up not being worth the money that he's going to get, and he's going to end up having to focus on one thing and not the other.
And which one would it be?
I think he'll be a better hitter than he will be a better pitcher.
Really? Because that's what I said to Ron. I said, look, he's still got to prove that he can pitch against major league hitting and hit against major league pitching. And if I was to say of the two, what is he going to do? I would say he's going to be a pitcher simply because, you know, like as a starting pitcher, one every 5 days, and, you know, you can go over scouting reports, and you know that if you can hit your spots, you can hit your spots, which is a far cry from as a hitter going in and saying, well, I've raked against all these hitters in our league. But when you go against, you know, top-notch talent, night in, night out pitching, it's a different ball game as a hitter, and I think he may struggle more in the batter's box.
Well, from what I read, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've watched any games of his, but apparently the knock on him is control. And if you can hit 100, that's great. A lot of guys can do that. What you have to have when you can hit 100 is control. So if you have problems with your control, that's why I think that at the end of the day, if you can't control it, I mean, look at Betances from the Yankees. If you can't control 100 miles an hour, it does you no good. So I think at the end of the day, it's a lot tougher to pitch in baseball.
Look at Ken Giles of the Houston – oh, never mind. But he throws 100.
Okay.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Because it's also – I don't know if the final figures have come out yet, but it'll be interesting to see the money he's going to get. Because you're right. I mean, if you're going to pay all-star Mike Trout-like or big-time pitcher money in this league right away without a guy proving himself in the major leagues, you're setting yourself up for where it could be a big fall.
Jason Hebert said, by the way, we were talking about Kamara and Ingram and what do we call them? Boom and Zoom?
Yeah.
This is the best. He said someone called them Rhythm and Bruise.
I like it.
That's really
good. Especially for New Orleans.
Yeah, he said it's perfect for New Orleans pair of running backs. Absolutely. That might be my favorite.
I like that one, too. Because the Thunder and Lightning thing's been overused.
We got to come up with some more.
Okay.
We'll try to come up with some more. Maybe our listeners can come up with some.
Absolutely.
Because I think Rhythm and Bruise is really good. That's going to be hard to beat.
And we have one other baseball note we can touch on the other side of the break, too. But Giancarlo Stanton has vetoed both trade opportunities with the Giants and the Cardinals, narrowed it down to 4 teams, including your Houston Astros. So he's narrowed it down to, shockingly, the Dodgers,
the
Yankees, the Astros, and the Cubs.
Yeah, we should have teased them. Now everyone's going to leave.
We
could have brought them back.
We have so many loyal listeners. I'm not worried about where they're going. They're always going to be here. And you should be, too. We're at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. If you want to join us, 2325 Calder, come on down and get some of these happy hour prices, $12 buckets of Miller Lite, Coors Light all day. We'll be here till 4. The Blitz will be here till 7. And we'll be back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, good news for those of you in Beaumont. The papal vehicle has made a stop. That means that the Pope Mobile has opened the doors and Lauren Pope is present and accounted for. Therefore, the show can go on. It must go on. It will go on. And it is able to go on because she is in our presence right now here at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder. As I mentioned, $12 buckets, Miller Lite, Coors Light, all the way till 7 o'clock and all night long. So if you want to come out and join us and the Blitz up until 7 o'clock, we're going to be here. We'd love to see you. Stop in, say hi. Barry's signing autographs, taking selfies, making sure he autographs that new ESPN T-shirt the marketing people are giving out.
Hey, speaking of shirts, I got to plug mine. So I got my shirts in for my comedy, and they're on my website. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give some stuff away. So if people want to join my mailing list, and I'm not going to spam people, but like I'm probably going to give a shirt away. I'm going to do some discounts as well. So if you just go to Barry is Funny, you can join my mailing list. Plus, I'll email you when like I have shows, and people can win tickets. I'll do some ticket giveaways and give discount links and all that. So BarryIsFunny.com. You can sign up and join my mailing list, and I'll give some stuff away. Cool. Thanks.
Sure. Okay. So we were talking before the break, and you said I should have teased it. But I, you know, we've had some people come up to us and talk to us too, and some people on Twitter. Were you really that excited that Giancarlo Stanton was a guy the Astros needed? The fact that he narrowed down his list of teams that he would go to and put the Astros on it? I think anybody that watched the playoffs and watched the World Series would put the Astros on it. But we all know, and look, we had Jeff Passan on the other day, the Major League Baseball writer, who said the Astros are going to have a hard enough time when all the contracts start coming up for Correa and Altuve and Bregman and Springer, making sure that all four of those guys stay in a uniform. You don't want a $325 million contract that still has about $275 million worth of contract left on it.
I can stop you right there. He's not coming to the Astros.
No.
He's not. They would have to – you're going to have to move several people in order for that to happen. So, just
well,
not going to happen.
I will say this. I don't want him, again, and I hope it doesn't. But the
Marlins, I want him. Don't get me wrong. If the Astros – oh, yeah.
Not for that money. Then you're basically saying you're going to lose one or two of those four core guys you have right now. Because Jim Crane's not paying all that.
Well, you're going to move some other high-priced guys that you have, but you're not going to move your core. That wouldn't make sense to go get
him.
But
I'm saying when that contract is $325 million, averaging $29.5 million a year for like the next seven years.
They have plenty of money to spend. I mean, they have plenty of room, though. It's not like they're in the top five in salary right now.
I get it.
If you move Reddick, if you move some of these other guys, he could play right field where Reddick played. You know, there's room. I mean, you got Brian McCann that you can move. There's a lot of room to be made if you wanted to make that move. And I would love to have him. I just don't think they're going to because I don't. Like, I'm with you that I don't think they're going to spend the money, but I wouldn't mind having it. And the fact of the matter is. He's basically front running at this point. He said, "I'll go to the Cubs, the Astros, the Yankees and the Dodgers." Mm-hmm. He's just making a list. That doesn't mean that the Astros are out there trying to get him.
No, absolutely not. But I'm saying a lot of fans were excited and saying, you know, what are they going to have to give up to get him and what a fit. I don't think they need him. I don't think they should want him because I think that the offense has not been an issue. Everybody knows it's about the most feared lineup in baseball right now, 1 through 9. It's pitching where they need the help, and in the bullpen specifically, and that's where they should be focusing their efforts, and I think they are. I think you're right. I don't think that the Astros are, like, inquiring with them. He just, with a no trade, he just expressed the four teams that he would be willing to be traded to. And the Dodgers all along have been the front runner on his list.
I hate that, by the way.
But there's another team that I don't think needs him.
Yeah, the Dodgers could use some help offensively. Absolutely.
You think
he... Yeah, absolutely.
They already got a huge payroll. They already got an outfield.
It's all pitching.
But when you think about it, though, you got Puig in the outfield. You got Peterson in the outfield. You've got guys in the outfield that are, you know, that are younger players that are going to be there for a long time with bigger contracts. I don't know. To me,
I mean, the Yankees can afford him, and the Yankees are probably the most likely team that he ends up with because they'd be willing to pay that money. But don't sleep on the Dodgers. They've got money there. See, that's the difference of the four teams that he mentioned: Cubs, Yankees, Dodgers and Astros. There's only one team that's scared to spend the money, and that's the Astros.
Yeah.
The rest of them will, and they're right to do it. I mean, he's one of the better hitters in the game. Why wouldn't you want that?
But no, the biggest thing is the three other teams are willing to spend that kind of money with a blink of an eye and not even worry about it, and the Astros just don't seem to be, with Jim Crane, that kind of team.
I'm on spot track right now. The Astros payroll, according to this website, is $83 million. Why wouldn't you spend the money on that dude?
Because that's a Pujols-type deal. That's a deal where the last 4 or 5 years of that deal, based on his health, he is going to be a liability more than he's going to be a statistical nightmare for the rest of the league.
He's 28, though. When Pujols signed his, he was a lot older.
I get that, but at the same time, he's a big swinging home run hitter. And if he starts to, you know, take any kind of a step back, it's going to be costly because you're still paying, you know, you're starting in the area of $30 million a year and going up from there. And in the last couple of years of that deal, I don't think he's going to be worth the money.
Here's the thing, though. If you could sign him and get some useful life out of him before he turns 32 and then trade him later and give up some stuff if you had to, you're making that run right now. That's the whole point that the Astros are doing. They're building for a run at the World Series over the next 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get him in and then move him later, that would be great. But it's just not going to happen. That's of the four teams he mentioned, he only mentioned it because they won the World Series.
I just like I said, if he was more of a five-tool player, if he was defensively and hitting for average and all those other things, I would say, yeah, sure, I get that. But I think that, you know, for a lot of reasons for me, it's just not the right fit. But, you know, we can agree to disagree. So We got a call that wants to get in here?
Yeah, we Patrick. Got Patrick who wants to comment on the whole Stanton situation. Patrick, what's up, man?
Yeah, guys. I'm a Cubs fan, but I respect the Astros. I really, really enjoy them winning. I don't think they need Giancarlo Stanton. And I can tell you that if they do get him, I understand you can move some smaller pieces. I don't see you keeping, you know, all your core pieces. And the other thing is he's not going to the Cubs. You can take that out right now. The Cubs are going to save their money to make a run at Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant's best friend, Bryce Harper. So you can just go ahead and throw them out.
Okay. Well, you Patrick, heard it here first then. There you go.
Yeah, Patrick,
our Cubs insider.
Look, I think regardless of what they do, if they make a run at Bryce Harper, they would love to have Giancarlo Stanton because that's the kind of move that they are notorious for.
Let me ask you this. All right, I'm just going to – so I'm looking at contracts. Brian McCann is due $17 million next year and $15 million in 2019. All right? Yuli Gurriel is due $12 million next year, $10 million, and $8 million over the next 3 years. Josh Reddick is due $13 million, $13 million, and $13 million. You wouldn't trade those three guys to the Marlins or get rid of those three guys or figure out a way to move those guys and add Giancarlo Stanton? You put Marwin Gonzalez at first base? You don't think that that would be a better team?
I can see I see your point that it could happen, but I just to me, I just don't think
No, I'm saying I don't think it'll happen. What I'm saying is making them a better team. I think they're a better team
short term,
yes. Than
those long term, I hate that contract, and I just don't see it being a contract that Jim Crane's willing to take on, and I think it would be so hard to move him when he gets into his 30s because of the fact that he's going to be so not worth it from a value perspective.
That part I agree with, late 30s, but you would have to figure out how to get out from under that. Like A-Rod moving to the Yankees in the middle of his contract with the Rangers or something like that.
Or you'd need a Cleveland Browns with yes. with Sashi at the helm to be able to, but, to help you out with Brock
but
Osweiler.
But for a run over the next 4-plus years or 3 or 4 years, man.
Oh, with the short porch, he would have a field day in Minute Maid. No, but I think he'd have a field day in Wrigley, too. And look, this is the kind of thing that Theo Epstein is known for when he's trying to make a splash. Cubs have underachieved since winning the World Series. People think that they're disappointing, but they did win the series. In order to make another splash, he's built up the farm system. He knows what he's doing. That would be a move I could see them making.
So where is he going?
I totally agree that if anybody's going to spend the money and the track record's there, he's going to be the bookend to Aaron Judge. He's going to be in New York.
Could you imagine that lineup with him?
Whew, man.
Forget it.
Talk about a murderer's row, and you put those guys on in 3 and 4 or anywhere?
Yeah.
Man. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue to roll on. We're in hour number one of the big show. It's a 3-hour extravaganza that takes you up till 4 o'clock. That's when the Blitz drive us home. We're in Beaumont at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder. You are wherever you are, and hopefully you're either going to stop by and join us or you're going to keep us tuned in all the way throughout the afternoon.
Benny, we see you. We'll get to you after the break, too. Don't worry.
There you go. Back with a whole lot more ESPN 97.5.